Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem for this Monday morning, November 18. Hope your weekend was a winning one, an enjoyable one. It certainly was for those that attended Newcastle on Saturday. They had a terrific lunch on Friday where they raised stacks of money. Well done to our very own Sean Cosgrove for putting his little bit on that with the interview with Peter Volantis on stage. And then we got there Saturday, and it was first-class racing with the running of the Hunter, the inaugural race, going to Sabatiano over Tactical Advantage and Bonhomie. It was a real healthy crowd. There was a good feel around it, as there would have been at Sandown as well, the final day of the Melbourne Carnival this week. And Dean Lester's online. Morning to you, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Look, I was on a couple of those Charlie Appleby horses, and they just didn't quite live up to it.
So you're the reason they got beaten.
Yeah, exactly.
They hardly got beaten since they've been in Australia. So, but they did. The horse in the last, he was just backed as if unbeatable. But Pacadali had been having a really good preparation, just sat right on his hammer and nailed him, and now ventures to Perth for the Kingston Town in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, exactly. On that plane later today, and later today we'll get a full picture of who's exactly going for Godolphin. They could have four runners there, James Cummings, over the next two or three weeks. Glenn Munsey is joining us. Morning, Munns.
Oh, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Dino. And when Ronnie joins us, I wasn't part of the action at Newcastle, but from all the reports there, it was all positive. So that's a great thing for the club, and just takes a little bit of pressure off the tracks here, so they get another little bit of a rest going into summer. But I suppose if we don't move it around, we're not going to be able to attract new people to come to the races. And I think they said about 6,000 people there on Saturday, which is, I think, a little bit short of what they wanted. But as Matt Benson told us on Thursday and Friday, there's a lot of other things going on in Newcastle. They had the Legends of League there. They've got the V8 supercars next weekend. So you are competing for the leisure dollar as well at the same time. But I think they'd be very, very happy with how everything panned out on Saturday.
Well, I think the one thing that shone through was the young crowd that was there. And Ron Duffy, well, he was one of the youngsters there as well. Morning to you, Duff.
Yeah, g'day, guys.
Have you got home yet?
No, it's a two-day trip home from Newcastle. It's a long way.
Oh, it's like going to Rose Hill, Glenn. You should be aware of that.
Oh, yeah. I can get to Brisbane quicker than I can get to Newcastle. And I can tell you, because I drove up there Thursday afternoon, it took me 3 hours to get there, and I got home at midnight Thursday night. It was a much, much quicker drive home. There's nowhere near as much traffic on the roads at midnight, you know, that as there are at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
How'd those speeches go at the wedding, Munns?
They didn't allow me to have any speeches.
We had you speaking all through Friday night.
That's why it was a two-day wedding.
Well, it actually kicked into three. We thought we hadn't had enough, so we thought we'd continue on a little bit yesterday. But it was a good wedding. A good mate of mine, Peter Longworth, Nobby, and his new wife, Mary Ann, there. And I heard the boys on the Big Sports Breakfast talk some things about Hong Kong, Andrew, that I know we're going to bring up. And we had a couple of people there from Hong Kong, and two completely different opinions. Mm. One is there, he's got no concerns whatsoever. He's totally focused on the racing. He lives at Sha Tin. And another gentleman there that makes his living out of racing and horses, and he's very concerned. So there's two people that are living basically in the same spot, albeit, you know, a distance apart. And one's a little bit wary of what's going on, and one doesn't have a care in the world.
Well, I can tell you right now, because I've literally just got a text from him, but John Moore is going to join us in about 40 minutes. At about a quarter to the hour, we'll be talking to John Moore. I wanted to grab him, Duff, because of that monster winner, Theo, last night. We'll ask him about how he feels the international build-up's going to be, but what about that win last night?
Out with the old, in with the new, as they say. He's special. He's a special sprinter, that fellow, and be interesting to see if Zach Purton wants to get in the sauna, because he'll get a lightweight, being a three-year-old, into that international sprint. So And obviously the other story was John Moore's other horse, Beauty Generation. I think a lot of people were forgiving for his first defeat in a while last time, but he went down again there on yesterday. So the new brigade, it looks like Athero's the big talk horse now in Hong Kong.
And well done to Tyrrell Studd, who did all the work in preparing, going through the English sales, and now ends up a potential big liner in Hong Kong. As I say, John Moore will join us about a quarter to ten here on Punters Postmortem. Duff, going back to Saturday, obviously, Sabatiano wins it. Tactical advantage was very good, finishing off the Hunter, obviously, and Bonamy boxed on really brave for Jason Deemer.
Yeah, it was. She was so dominant. Obviously, she proved that she just doesn't run a mile at a previous start. And back here, fresh at 1300, she used her strength, her speed, and it was a one-act affair, really. She just controlled speed, running course record time up front, and it was a dazzling display. I thought we'd. We're all worried about tactical advantage at 1,300 metres, but he got held up and darted through there late. Bonamy, he just had the nice run and did a great job at another one that was risky at the 1,300, but come through in with flying colours. The disappointment was Graf, there's no doubt about it. He's obviously not the horse. He's got issues, that horse. He'd had a bit of a throat earlier, and maybe that's come back to haunt him.
Yeah, I guess the one talking point, Dean, that we were discussing in the morning was the barrier draw on paper. You went, oh, no, or terrible. But once Home of the Brave actually came out, it just made it for Sabatiano.
Yeah, and she just rolled across as she wanted to. And what she can run is 1,300 very close to her top. Beyond that, she won the 1,400-metre Tristark, but she's just in flying form. I mean, if she could carry this form through to the autumn. I think that was the win of a Group 1 sort of horse, Duff.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. She's just hit a purple patch there. I would say it's a peak performance from her. So, interesting mares. You either got them or you haven't got them. Mm. She comes back in that form. She's a real autumn player.
Tactical advantage, Dean. You saw her down there be really dominant down the straight. And there was a question mark over 1,300, but was really strong through the line.
Yeah, he got through the line well, Andrew, in really good form. And it was a day of seconds for Chris Leaves, wasn't it? He was a major player at the meeting, but he could just fill the minor roles in so many of the features.
Yeah, I texted him yesterday and said that was just one of those days, and it certainly was. And on that point, Duff, we've got to give him a mention. The old jock, Jock Galogli, on Saturday morning came on the show bright and early about 7:20, and he gave us a bit of mail about horses in the Hunter, but then he threw one up, and already we've got a text message coming through from John saying a big thank you to the clocker at Newcastle. Game of Thrones, I had 100 each way at $31 and $6 the place, and it nearly came off.
I thought it was going to win with 50 or 100 to go, but yeah, it was a much improved run. Get better next prep. It will strengthen up that horse.
And SMSs were... Yeah, sorry, Glenn.
Any chance of, a Back to the Future, where, Jock segment every week? I'm sure he's rung you. If he hasn't, there's serious trouble. Yes. And I must admit, I did see a photo that was posted on Saturday morning. I think the boys from Australian Bloodstock, you had Jock sitting in my seat.
Yes. Yeah, your seat was very well used. Don't worry about not being there.
He thinks he can call the prices too,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they all have a try. Yeah. They only ever do it once, though. You get them to line up again the following week and say, you did it. Oh, no, thanks. No, I couldn't do that. No.
Well, Jock was on. Chris Lee sat there. Jason Deemer popped in for a little while. You better jump back into it this Saturday.
Well, I'm much happier to go to the Gong, Andrew. It only takes me about 45 minutes to get there. It takes me longer to get to French's Forest than it does to Wollongong.
Well, we're going to be there this Saturday, obviously. But SMSs, you can contact us on 0419 767 272, 0419 767 272, and we'll take your calls as well on 1353 53. Duff, anything else out of the Hunter that you wanted to mention? A Fiesta or Siren's Fury was good late.
Yeah, she can pull out a run like that, Siren's Fury, especially fresh. She's always running on, being a backmarker, a lot of things have to fall into place for her. But Fiesta, I thought, raced a little bit keen. I thought she'd be back in a little bit further back in the ruck, but she was very aggressive and very fresh there. So little excuses for her, and obviously Le Romain unfortunately bled there, and he's out for 3 months.
Yeah, disappointing. Was obviously looking at running this week in the Gong, and now out for 3 months. Anything else, Dean, you would have watched these races from the Hunter point of view?
Andrew, I was quite taken with the last winner, actually, Burning Crown, just that he's become a lot more tractable racehorse this time in, and it was only the lower benchmark, but Duff, he's starting to get his head around what he's got to do on race day.
He's been a horse that's had a boom on him all the way through, and he started favourite on a number of occasions, and then he was his own worst enemy, just missing the start and then charging forward. And I know Sue's, you know, always probably held him in higher regard than that really good old sprinter like Border Rebel that she had. So he might get there, this horse, and the pros were all over him there on Saturday. They must have loved his the time he ran at his previous start, and he was very heavily back late to beat that that big tip Leviathan, and he come out on top.
Gee, everyone was tipping Leviathan by the time we got to it.
Yeah, it was into odds on there, you know, halfway through betting there for the last, and then it changed big time. Probably when they walked in the yard. And then the big late move was for Burning Crown. But they're the two they singled out in the market, and they're the ones that fought it out.
Was Outrageous the biggest hard luck story of the day?
Yeah, probably. He got into that beautiful spot, but it just didn't happen for him. He had a very frustrating day, that young Brock Ryan. You know, I think he put his horses in beautiful positions. So Taken was the other one that was unlucky. Just getting held up. They're all in... both in beautiful positions, but sometimes things just, you know, don't happen for him.
Well, those two in front of him were sort of half carding in that race. They weren't in. Yeah, he was sort of halfway into a run, and then there was nothing, was there? Really?
Yeah, and they both come back on him at the same time. So it's very hard to blame the rider there.
Peter, the winner of that race, we said on Thursday night, Into the Abyss, that was her 19th start on Saturday. She's only had 3 starts in non-black type races and won the 3 of them.
It's pretty good effort.
Yeah, it is. Tilia Rose, they didn't quite win the last Snowdens with Leviathan, but what are the prospects of her going forward, winner of the Max Lees?
Yeah, very bright prospect. I know it's 900-metre form is just that, 900-metre form, but she's a quality-looking filly, well-educated, love the way she sprinted off the lead there. They've sizzled home, as they do in the 900s, 32-12 from the front there. They've run, so... and.
Yeah, second horse was very good there.
Second horse missed the start, covered ground, didn't she? And probably second and third. The third horse is the one that just doesn't look a 2-year-old yet. It wants a break and filling out, and then I think she'll get better with a spell under a belt. But Tilia Rose, typical well-educated Snowden horse who can, you know, we'll see more of it this preparation.
They seem to have, as normal, just a good bank of 2-year-olds coming through, Peter and Paul Snowden. Glenn, well done to Andrew Robinson, this Muswellbrook trainer. Spoke to him on Friday, and he was keen about the horse bar the barrier draw, but Trophies Galore did it strong there under the guidance of Andrew Gibbons.
Yeah, and you know, a good result for, well, albeit he trains at Muswellbrook, but the locals having a win on the big stage, and a great opportunity for a young trainer without a great number of horses to put himself out there. And, you know, it could be a great result for him. He's got a, you know, consistent record, 13 starts now for 4 wins and 5 placings, 2 starts for 2 wins this time in. And, you know, Gibbo, Aaron Bullock, those riders up there, well, they had the chance to shine on Saturday, and Gibbo came out on top.
Yeah, it was a good win. Duff, I've got to ask you about the win of Strome. A benchmark 78 race sat wide the entire trip and just left them in their wake, really. I mean, she was a dominant winner, and who knows, maybe Avilias is there.
Yeah, well, she's found her form now, and she just had too much acceleration for the other two favourites, Misharab and Juventus, and just left them with no excuses at all. She likes Newcastle. She carried 58 kilos there. So who knows? You know, by the time we get to the Villiers, I'd say... maybe some horses left out of the Gong there might be a target for them. But she certainly got timing on her side, and she'll get in with a beautiful weight, as will that the mare that won the first, House of Cartier. Surprisingly, going to keep her fresh for the mile of the Villiers as well, right, rather than stepping up to a 2,000 or further, because she's in really good shape as well. So there's a couple of fringe fringe dwellers with timing that could run well with lightweights in the Villiers with Strome and Councillor Cartier.
Ron, you were there from very early and you saw the day develop there. There seemed to be a really good atmosphere all around it. Did you gain the feeling that they've got now plenty to build on for next year?
I think a lot to build on. They can plan a lot better next year. They can market it in the town a lot better. Well, they got more time to do it now. This race was put on not long ago when you think of it. And all the spruiking is about the supercars or the V8s, so that's already in everyone's head. But I think next year they'll know this is their major racing event, and the Novocastrians get right behind their events and their town. And it's a big town. It's a really big town, and I think it'll go from strength to strength without a doubt.
Yeah, I think the young people were the things that stood out to me. There were a lot of young people there, which is what we've seen come through the Everest. If they can develop that in a way, well, then that's going to be good.
Oh, it will be, yeah. And it shows those horses can, freshen back up from, maybe Melbourne Cup week, like your Savatianos and Into the Abyss. They proved that it could be done. And I think trainers are still learning about the program because they got history in the back of their heads and saying this is how we usually do it. And all of a sudden, we've got all these other races. There's rich pickings if you plan accordingly.
Yeah, and interesting comments from Dave Dwyer. Dave's the boss of the bookies down here, and he said, well done to the NJC and Racing New South Wales for the Hunter race meeting. A lot of young people there and a great atmosphere. As a bookie, we were busy, and you don't hear that very often in these days. The provincial racing scene will get a kick along with these promotions. So there's a wrap from the number one bookie. There on the track, which, as I said, vastly different to the comments passed by the bookies at the end of the Flemington Carnival, Dino.
Yes, for sure. Let's go and welcome in. We're just going to take a couple of calls because we know we've got John Moore at 9:45. So if you want to ring in now and talk to the boys, you certainly can. 13:53:53. Morning to you, Bob.
Morning, guys. I think one of these things, these new races, is they're bringing people to the track. And I think I want to talk about a concept that's also done that. I'm a lucky owner of a My Runners horse. And we had our first Metro winner on Saturday up on the Sunshine Coast. There were 200 owners there cheering the horse across the line. It's just an absolute thrill to be part of it. I never thought I could ever own a horse that could win a Metro race. And even though I only own a little bit, let me tell you, I've never been so excited in all my life.
Which horse was it, Bob?
A horse called Dusty Tycoon.
Yeah, it was
Tycoon
Rob Heathcote. Yeah.
And what a great communicator Rob Heathcote is. He is very excited about this horse. He really believes he's in with a live chance in the Magic Millions. And you get an email from him and he's excited in his voice. And it's just a fabulous thing to be part of. And we've got another one going in on Saturday in the Magic Millions in Ballarat, Zoo Shack.
Yes, for Lindsay Park.
Yeah, so basically we could have two runners on Magic Millions Day.
Well, that is really exciting. And Duff, I don't know whether you saw Dusty Tycoon live, but couldn't have been much more impressive.
No, I missed it, but I'll go back and have a look at it. I did see that second winner, So Dapper, looked very, very good. But, I'll go back and have a look at Dusty Tycoon because Rob's a straight shooter, and if he's given it a big rap, I think we should take notice.
Yeah, you weren't one of those owners that went the early crow. Nathan Exerby wrote in the Courier Mail this morning that the cheers when Dale Smith went out after them on Dusty Tycoon, he said they hadn't been heard before. So did you go the early crow?
Oh, Bob's dropped out. Out, Glenn. Sorry, mate.
I thought with my questions here this morning. I'll just go back to the wedding.
Yeah, go back to that speech that you were giving. Let's go to Greg. Morning to you, Greg.
Morning, gentlemen. A comment and a question for Dean. Congratulations on tipping 5 winners and 2 seconds on Saturday. I know people there don't like to blow their own horn, but that was a very good effort.
Thank you.
Just take our tips to granted a lot. I follow a number of tips over a long period of time, and how much we take them for granted, and how difficult it really is. Because you take somebody like Gary Harley, who's also a great tipster. He tips 3 on Saturday at Sandown, but couldn't tip one in Newcastle. So it just proves how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And then just questions for Dean. A non-winner, Widgie Turk, did you expect him to be where he was in the run?
No, I didn't. But he sort of began so well and race very fierce. That's just not like him at all. I think he's probably had enough.
Yeah, he over-raced because he was over-tired, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he showed any of his characteristics in the run like he usually does. He usually just relaxes, runs home. It's often usually too big a task for him, but I thought the small field would suit him. But, yeah, he was just too keen in the run. I don't think it was a change of tactics. I think just the horse began so well and just had that, you know, fierceness about him.
Yeah, and Dale Harrell, did you expect him to lead?
Yeah, I did. I thought he'd lead. That's his best chance, but something's gone wrong after his first two runs. His first two runs were terrific. Geelong, oh, I could forgive, but Saturday, it's been beaten four lengths, but that's his best style, to roll along and then quicken, and he didn't have a lot of kick left the last 300.
So you expect him to go as quick as he did in front?
Well, he didn't go that quickly until about the 1,000, and that's when he really ramped it up. He went even gallop, but he really ramped it up from the 1,000, and that's how he's raced well before, so I had no problem with that.
Oh, no questions for the stewards to ask then.
Wouldn't have thought. I know the stablemate won the race, but I think the stablemate wanted to be closer in the run too, but couldn't find a spot and end up going back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the show, gentlemen.
Good on you, David. Bob, hang on, let me get it right. That was Greg. Let's go to David now. There's a few names there. Sorry, Greg, about that. I've got names here galore because they're all wanting to chat with Punters post-mortem. Morning to you, David.
How you going, boys?
Very well.
Really like your show when I get to listen to it. It's fantastic.
Great.
Look, I think I enjoyed the whole carnival, but for me, the Melbourne Cup's still the great race. And I think we should be proud about the Melbourne Cup that it's still, I think, the hardest race in the world to win. Just listen to these names, boys. Just some names who can't win the Melbourne Cup. Frankie Dettori, Aidan O'Brien, Chris Waller. And you think of Gay Waterhouse, for all her years of dominance, she could only manage to win one. It's still, I think, the hardest race to win. I mean, can you imagine Chris Waller, as great a trainer as he is, his record in the Melbourne Cup's quite poor. And Frankie Dettori, I mean, it's one of the saddest things I'll say I've ever seen in sport. I was really sad.
Yeah.
I admit I backed his horse.
Yeah.
But to see how distraught he was, I mean, not winning.
I think he realised, Dean, didn't he? He just realised that 150 out, that it was he had two hands on that three-legged cup there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He had the best chance he's had for a long time. It all went skew with the last 100 metres. So I'm glad it didn't hang on win because he lost it on protest. So it would have been that would have been worse.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can.
No, I just want to ask you a question. I was talking this. If the horse had a won, I don't know what Duff thinks. I'm not saying what should have happened. Do you think the fact if he'd won fourth against first, do you think they still would have upheld it? If he'd actually won, do you think they would have gone and actually taken it off him?
Yep.
Well, Dino would. You know, it seems to think so. It would have been a tougher decision for them, but if they're playing a straight bat, you'd have to say yes.
If it was fourth against first, would Wayne Lawden have protested?
No.
It would have been interesting.
The great thing about, especially at carnival time, is that overhead shot and the momentum that Il Paradiso had.
Oh, yeah.
Was the telling factor in the fourth against second being upheld for a start. So it was only that little margin in it. So I think it would have been it would have been upheld.
All right, good on you, Dave. Thanks very much for your call here on Punters Postmortem. Let's go to Meredith now. Morning, Meredith.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. What can we do for you?
I heard someone ring up. Normally I'm at work on Monday morning, but I happen obviously not to be at work today. I heard someone ring up a little while ago and mention Widgie Turf.
Yes.
Yeah. I have two beautiful non-racing thoroughbreds, Silvo's Chestnut, and I love Widgie Turf. And I actually read the steward's report because I was concerned because he wasn't racing like he normally does. And according to the steward's report, he pulled up lame in the off hind and requires a vet certificate before he can race again.
probably why he was fierce. He was feeling a bit of pain.
And it also said that Billy Egan felt the track was a bit firm for him.
Yeah, it did firm up. That's the other thing. Yeah.
So and he has waited.
He has run on the firm early in his career, but I think as he's got older, he's definitely a more jarred horse.
Yeah, he's now six. Yeah.
And Meredith, Patrick Payne, the trainer, had actually scratched from the week before on the final day.
On the final day,
hoping that it would rain. So I guess he probably thought, I've got to run because I've got a horse that's ready to run. You know?
I just thought I'd ring because, having read the steward's report, a lot of people don't, and I do get a bit obsessive about checking up on things with horses I particularly follow. I'm not a punter. I just love the horses.
Yeah, I understand.
It did bother me on Saturday when I saw that. So hopefully he's fine. He'll pass his certificate and we'll see him back again.
Exactly. And Meredith, the love of the horse is fantastic. We all love having a bet, but there's nothing like watching them extend and do everything that we want them to do. They are very, very special.
Oh, they are most beautiful animals. I love my two so very much. And people actually are surprised that I follow racing because of my horses. And I said, look, you know, racing is a wonderful sport and, you know, the horses are so well looked after and well cared for. And, yeah, sure, you get the odd bad person, but you get that in everything. I mean, it's not just in racing. It's other fields of equestrian activity as well, unfortunately. We'll see. But, yeah, hopefully he'll be back.
He'll be back. We need him to travel around when he does, so we can track rain, but he's a nice horse. Good on you. Thanks, Meredith.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call. Much appreciate it.
Good on you. When you're home on a Monday, make sure you listen. An SMS coming through, will Knights Watch go to Perth? No, Terry Henderson's told me that the horse has gone to the Spelling Paddock. So they're sending, Duff, Tommy Melbourne going to Lindsay Smith over in Perth.
Tom Perth, will have to change his name in.
Yeah, we will. All right, let's take the latest. We're going to John Moore in about 12 minutes or so. We're looking forward to that. But some more calls after this sports break as well. 13-53-53. Here's Maddie.
Morning to Andrew. Well, the biggest crowd in NBL history watched the Sydney Kings survive a third quarter explosion from LaMelo Ball to claim a 92-87 victory over the Illawarra Hawks. Meanwhile, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has become the fifth Kiwi to win the prestigious Golden Boot Award, while Socceroo Ryan Graham played his 200th A-League match for Sydney FC less than 48 hours after arriving back in Australia from Jordan. But it was former Victory champion, now Sydney star, Costa Barbarousis who scored the winning goal in last night's 2-1 win over Victory. Brisbane striker Roy O'Donovan believes the Roar will be able to use their comeback 4-3 win over Melbourne City as inspiration during the A-League season, while James Pattinson has been ruled out of the first test contention after a code of conduct breach stemming from Victoria's Sheffield Shield loss to Queensland after using an alleged homophobic slur. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your home to Sydney's Spring Racing Carnival.
Sky Sports Radio combines with Harness Racing New South Wales to bring you On The Pace. Brittany Graham, Chris Barsby and Mark McNamara preview and analyse all the feature racing with trainers and drivers inside mail. Sunday to Friday mornings from 10:30. On The Pace on Sky Sports Radio.
Shane Warne here to let you know Supercoach Fantasy BBL is back. The hits will be bigger, the bowling will be faster and the banter will be world class. How do I know? I'll be part of it. And I don't care who you are, when it comes to a cheeky sledge, there's no holding back. Ooh. After all, there's cash up for grabs and bragging rights too. So if you want to take on your mates or you want to take on one of the greats, register today at supercoach.com.au and together, let's bring back the banter.
Conditions apply.
Warrawee Needy.
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee Needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee Needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonderful here down under.
Sky Sports Radio has the best way to start any wagering day. The Whip Around gets today's best bets and quaddy predictions for all New South Wales meetings, plus interstate and international race days. Every morning, catch the Whip Around at 11 o'clock on Sky Sports Radio.
Wideline has a huge, stunning new showroom now open at Liverpool. That's where you'll find an impressive range of residential, designer, architectural and commercial windows and doors. Whether you're a home renovator, commercial builder, architect or designer, Wideline Custom manufactures and tailors to suit your needs. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, and open 6 days a week, Wideline also has showrooms at Rosebery, Central Coast, Newcastle and Port Macquarie. There's never been a better time to take a closer look.
Causing heavy delays on the freeway.
Passengers on platform one, the train due to arrive has been delayed.
No one likes delays, especially when they're running a business. That's why at OnDeck, we make it quick and easy to get the funds your business needs. At OnDeck, we have a delay we think you'll like. Delayed repayments on small business loans. Right now, get a small business loan and we'll delay repayments until 2020. Apply today at ondeck.com.au.
Repayments delayed until January 2020 with your term extended by a deferral period. Full T's and C's apply and loans are subject to lender approval.
You're listening to Sky Sports Radio and Punters Postmortem.
Yes, it is 25 to 10. We're taking your calls. We'll talk about a few of the Sandown races with Dean as well and John Moore from Hong Kong in about 10 minutes or so. 13:53:53, and Fred's rung us as well. Morning to you, Fred.
Morning, guys. Just a couple of quick questions. I saw something this weekend that I haven't seen forever. It was one of Trevor Sutherland's horses ran twice in 2 days. He ran to Gundagai on Saturday and backed up again yesterday at Canberra. That's got to be pretty rare these days, I would think.
Is that Gentleman Max? Was it?
No, it was Al Romeo.
Oh, right. But did he run into... Yeah, I think... I thought I read somewhere he might have even run more. I thought, did he run three times? Or he had three starts in a week or something?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find it.
Twice in 2 days has got to be pretty rare, surely.
In these days, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Joey Pride did it a few months ago. I think he ran a horse on a Friday and a Saturday. I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Look, I guess it's down to the horse and also what the trainer. You know, the trainers deal with the horses all the time. Fred, we've got to rely on them, haven't we?
Oh yeah, no dramas. Yeah. I've actually both times. I'm happy with it. But just another quick one, guy. Did you ever find out what happened to Bobby Alyssa? I phoned a few weeks ago.
Yes. Now I've got a text on that, and when Bobby wants to come on and do a chat, he will be doing that. Fred, just keep listening, and I'll go through my 150 text messages I've got here. And as soon as I find it from a few weeks ago, I'll read it out.
All right, mate. Good on you. Thanks for that.
Keep listening, Fred.
Gentleman Max started Friday and Sunday. Friday at Gundagai and then Sunday at Canberra.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the horse. It wasn't the other one.
No. I'm just saying, Gentleman Max did start Friday and Sunday.
Okay. Here it is. Bobby Alyssa had a fall, and he had two. He didn't have a fall. He had two suspensions within a week when he last rode. He decided to, and that would have been seen him off on the sidelines for nearly a month. So he decided to go and take some time and visit his family and take an extended period away. But when he decides to come back, we're going to have a chat with him, which is good news. So that's the reason why we haven't. He's taken an extended break and went on a holiday. Let's go and say good morning to Brian.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Very well, Brian. What can the boys do for you?
Mate, I was watching your show on Saturday morning and very, very impressed with Jock Gologgly.
Yes, Jock, well, Munns, you tell us. Jock's been on and off 2KY into Sky Sports Radio over a long period of time.
Yeah, he's been around longer than I have, Jock, which is not a bad effort in anyone's language. But
he was terrific.
Well, he's beated his craft for a very, very long while. I'd say Jock is one of the only clockers still actively clocking horses each and every morning at the track. I think he does it exclusively for Christian Lees. But Jock's there, you know, every morning, and no one knows more about Newcastle and Newcastle horses than what Jock does.
But what about he nearly did to Lizzie Jelps?
Oh, with the 30-1 chance he was tipping.
Yeah, games of thorns.
Yeah, it was very impressive. It just, you know, pity we couldn't see someone like him more often.
Well, there's none of them around, Dina. They're even down in Melbourne. You know, Warren Huntley will go out during carnival times. He's got another role that he fulfills now. It's sad that we've lost them.
Oh yeah, he's still clocking about probably over 40 weeks of the year, Tuesday, Thursdays, but probably the last of the Melbourne trackman to do it regularly was Les O'Brien, who we lost only a few weeks ago, and because Les would go every day to Mornington or the internationals.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just impressive to see him. I thought it was really good, and his get on with Duff. I thought that was good.
Yeah, good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call. Really good stuff there. No, we thank Jock for coming on, being the local clocker there at Newcastle, and he was, as you described, Duff. He was nearly a big time hero.
Yeah, well, he can be our regular track clocker for the Hunter meeting each year.
Yeah, he can be. Let's go to.
Expect an invoice by, I'd say, lunchtime, Ben, if not earlier.
Yeah, no, I've got watches all over the screens on Jock. Let's go to Tim. Morning to you, Tim.
G'day, boys. How are you? Just an observation about the Hunter. It was good for the locals, as in the local public and stuff like that, and the race club. They had a really good crowd and a great turnout. But was it any good for the local trainers? They didn't walk away with any of the major prize money. It was all taken up by this major Sydney stables. How has it helped the locals? And I don't think the Gong is going to be any different this weekend.
Well, the Gong might be, in fact, it may not have any locals running in it, but I think what it is giving us, Tim, is exposure of racing. I mean, Chris Lee's run Friday's hard out there on Saturday. He had multiple runners everywhere, and you simply can't be winning every race. But, tactical advantage is the one that everyone was saying, oh, it'll struggle at 1,300, and there it was running on for second run.
And the locals got a big share of the second and third money there with tactical advantage with, Australian bloodstock and the Bonhomie story is a story in its own right. You know, Johnny Ramsey, he won a race there, the Musselbrook connection, trophies galore. It's still a competition. You know, we're not going to start a charity.
I know
another charity, but as I said, I kind of like, Chris Lee's come to Newcastle. I kind of don't regard him as a country or a provincial trainer. He's a Sydney trainer, mate. He's got that many horses, it's unbelievable. And he's trained for all the big people, the ATIs and Australian Bloodstock and all that. But I'm talking about the local trainers.
Well, Chris Lees was born.
Well, what are you meant to do, Tim? I mean, David Aikens turns up with Jonker. It was well found. There was a few mentioning it. I mean, mate, you can't jump over them. What are we meant to do? What are we? Do you want them just to put on a race for Newcastle trainers?
Well, maybe that's the idea. Give the local trainers in Sydney. We have the highway for the country trainers, which is fantastic. But as I say, maybe in a few years they can change it. Have a race just for the local trainers. As you say, like the Gong this week, there's not going to be any locals starting in the race. How does that help the local trainers?
Well, I will say...
Is that
say
the objective, though? Is that, yeah. I thought it was to bring the big-time racing to the regional venues.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tim, the one thing that stood out to me around Newcastle on Thursday, Friday and Saturday was the extra business that it brought to the city. One, cab drivers, they were doing arriving, along with Uber most likely. It just brings so much extra money into the area, as it will with the Gong this week, that they've got functions on. It's not just the racing you've got to look at. You're bringing people to town. For example, Ron went and he brought Cheryl. There's an extra person that's come to Newcastle to go to the races. I mean,
very lucky restaurateur as well.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Still
such a generous
hasn't got
tipper.
Home.
No,
he's
exactly.
Still making his way back.
Exactly. I think I can understand what you're saying, Tim, but it'll be interesting. Look, being the first one, it can only grow off what we've done.
I think it can only improve. The concept's fantastic. It's really, really good. I'm not bagging the concept at all. I just think it's the local actual trainers who are trained on the track every day of the year. They just need to be given a little bit more support and a chance to win as some of the major end of the prize money.
But you're also dealing with Saturday class racing. You're dealing with benchmark 78s, benchmark 88s. You know, the Hunter being an open handicap. Now, Chris Lee's even told us on Thursday night, he said, I do this each and every Saturday they race here. I've got to try and beat Chris Waller, Godolphin, the Snowdens. You know, so it's not unusual for the Sydney trainers to be going there on a normal Saturday. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that is the bread and butter races for the local trainers, and they've got to try and ward off the Sydney stables on those days. They don't have the Saturday grade or a number of the Saturday grade horses in their stable that can run in the actual races that were on the weekend.
Yeah. I think, Dean, just from your point of view, there's probably Victoria on this point have probably been a few years in front. That, and it, I respect that it's a smaller state and trainers can go from one side of the state to the other. But do you think there's a direct flow through, Dean, that the larger stables go to the country areas, but overall the horse quality has improved?
Certainly. Where the leading stables will bob up now is just remarkable. They never thought of going to some of the venues they go to now. And I don't know if the horses are better, Andrew, but I think the interest in you know, the punting dollar when the stables turn up, they do have a lot of short price favourites go to those meetings, but you know, they get beaten too. So I think it's been a good flow on that they do go to those meetings, but it is harder for the locals, I suppose.
Do you feel or hear the outcry or from other country trainers when the big teams turn up?
A little bit, but I think that they realise that the competition might drive turnover. Yep. Turnover is going to ultimately help prize money.
Yeah, understand. Hey, Tim, good talking point, and that's what we love to do on a Punters Postmortem program. Have a good week ahead, mate.
Thanks, buddy. Andrew as well, you mate.
Good on you, Tim. Hey, Grant, you faded him down. And when he was
going to
get
a rap.
He's going to give me a rap, Glenn. And Grant faded him down. Oh,
well done, Grant.
Oh,
yeah. Good on you, Grant.
Yeah, good on you. Righto. Yesterday afternoon, we got through Saturday, Newcastle and Sandown. Then into the twilight time, our time, we saw Hong Kong and the locals step out preparing for the internationals. And we were stunned by the performance of Athero that came out of Tyrrell Stud, went through the English Easter Sale and is now trained by our special guest this morning, John Moore. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Andrew. And I have Zach Purton right beside me at the track. He's listening to what's going on, and you can ask him some questions yourself.
Okay, well, we will, because we've got Ron Duffacy, we've got Dean Lester, and we've got Glenn Munsey that are going to ask you some questions as well. But were you even stunned by Athero yesterday, John?
Not really, because he was carrying a postage stamp, and he'd worked really well, leading into the race. And, I thought, if everything went right in running and he jumped away cleanly from the block, then I thought he could win.
Is he as good a sprinter as you've ever had, John?
Oh, definitely. I've only won an international sprint with Inspiration with Darren Biedman on board at 60-1. But prior to that, I've never really had a real top sprinter. Not listening to me came to Hong Kong, but he was really a spent force by the time he got here. But, this is definitely the best of the best.
Okay. What weight will he carry in that international race? Is Zach light enough to ride him in that race?
Would you like to ask that question? He's right here listening to you. I've got you on open line here.
Okay.
Zach, you talk to him. Don't worry, Duff. All righty.
It'll stop all the people ringing, that's all. We've got a couple of light blokes here in Australia that might want to ride him, that's all.
Yeah, no, there's no planes coming to Hong Kong at the moment.
A few extra games of golf, Zach, with the sweats on.
Yeah, exactly. No, it'll be all right. I'm pretty light at the moment. I've had my weight down for a little while now, waiting for an opportunity like this, because I knew this might have been on the card, so it's not going to be a problem.
Is he as good a sprinter as you've ridden?
I think he is. Aero Velocity has been the benchmark for me up until now. He won two Hong Kong sprints, as well as winning in Japan and Singapore. He was a fantastic horse for me. But he was not as naturally gifted as this fella. He seems to do it a lot easier. He floats across the ground like a butterfly, really. He could be anything.
It was the way that he did it yesterday, John, wasn't it? That around the bend, you were looking horses that were sitting back second to sixth, thinking, oh, they'll be running on off this pace, but he just simply kept going.
Yes, he did, and that's what he does and what he's very good at.
Where are we now with Beauty Generation, John? I know he's been a superstar, and he still is, but that's two defeats now.
Yes, Zach and I have been having a talk about that this morning, and we're of the opinion that that first start when he broke a track record over 1,400 and was carrying something like 25 over pounds over his best racing weight might have taken a lot of the steam out of him and flattened him. And that was proven with the start before where he didn't kick. And, because when he's in for the fight, that horse always gives you length. Zach mentioned this morning that he's just not in for the fight these days. So it was disappointing when I thought he could win on the weekend. I'll go back to the drawing board. There's a few things that I can tweak with him. I know he's 7 going on 8, but there's two things that I can tweak with him that I hope can get the job done in December.
So can I ask Zach on that point with Beauty Generation yesterday, Zach? I mean, did you feel that you were travelling well to when you straightened?
Yeah, I did. Obviously he's a horse that's got a high cruising speed. He's run along at good sections early in his races before, and that's been where he's won all his races. So, by the time we got to the halfway mark, I was happy with how things had gone. I was happy with how he was travelling. And to be honest, he did give me a little bit of a toe into the straight, but as soon as he got into the straight at the 400-metre mark, he put the white flag up, and I could tell I was in trouble straight away. He didn't accelerate like he normally does. He didn't grab the bit as strongly as he normally does, and he didn't want to go on with it. So, like John said, he's just not really up for the fight at the moment. When it comes to the tough end of the race, he's just taking the easy option out.
Glenn Munsey's got a question to John Moore regarding Athero.
Yeah, John, we got a little race here in Australia, in about 10 months' time. It's worth $75 million Hong Kong dollars. You wouldn't be interested in travelling for a race like the Everest?
In fact, there has been, I won't say who, but somebody contacted George and said that they'd like to give him their space in the Everest next year. So hopefully the government will change the quarantine restrictions back to 2 weeks and 2 weeks. It's two here, two there. And then, but you've got to remember that I'm putting the white flag up, as Zach mentioned, in Hong Kong. I'm looking for somewhere else to train. So,
you could bring him with you.
Yeah, and I'd have to speak to the owner because I wouldn't be licensed in Hong Kong. As you know, David Hayes is on his way up here. So, I'd have to speak to the owner and train him in Australia or whatever country, and then back for the Everest. But definitely, it'll be considered, in consideration.
And John, on that point, is there a thought of you? I mean, I know that you want to end with a terrific high in Hong Kong, but is there still a thought in your mind you want to come and train in Sydney?
I have interviews in Australia coming up in the next in the next 6 months with various, call them big conglomerates and that sort of thing. And consideration will be given after, talking to some of the big conglomerates in Australia about training in whether it be Melbourne, Sydney, or even up at the Gold Coast. But that's still all up in the air at the moment, even training overseas. That's still a possibility. But of course, my first choice would be Australia if I could, set things up in the right year, in the right city. But at the moment, it's all up in the air, and I have to discuss it with the wife and family first before the green light's given to where we do train.
John, just on another matter, the current climate in Hong Kong, there's talk about it. You talk to different people, they say there's nothing to worry about, and other people are optimistic. Is everything, full steam ahead for this international meeting, or is there still worries over there with these protests that are going on?
Well, it's the infrastructure that there are, the obstructions are coming from the infrastructure and getting people to the racetrack and everything, especially when the Lion Rock Tunnel and Poly University just below the Kowloon side of the tunnel is all blocked and that sort of thing. But from a racing point of view here at Sha Tin, I don't see any problems. It's just getting people to the races. That could be a problem when the 8th of December comes along. But there's a lot of turmoil up here. They were blocking Polo Harbour Highway, which is outside the racetrack here, which caused no end of
of trouble. And as you probably know, John Sires, myself, and a few others had to cycle to the track with flat tires.
Unbelievable.
So we never knew that was going to happen. But answering your question, the international meet will, at Char Tin, I don't see any problems. It's just the infrastructure getting people to the racetrack.
I guess the other one, I'm not too sure whether it's been announced yet. John, what jockeys, and Zach, you can answer this one if you want to, mate, but the international jockeys meeting on the Wednesday at Happy Valley, I guess the jockey club will have to make some sort of choice about what they do there.
Well, that's it, because, you know, Happy Valley's right in the city itself, and the protesters, the rioters, can block the infrastructure going to the track, which could be detrimental to the meeting. So that's all up in the air, but I'm sure the jockey club are making assessments at the present moment to make sure of the security, the safety of all racegoers, staff and everybody concerned. But I'm hoping that there won't be any hassles and that race meeting will go ahead, because it's one quite a racing, party that night, if you'd like to call it that. Everybody likes to go to that to that particular racetrack and enjoy that meet with all the international boys on show.
Yep. Righto, John and Zach, we appreciate you taking our call at this time of the morning up there. We just wanted a few words around Athira. I know the team at Tyrrell Stud will be absolutely blown away by the performance last night our time, and we can't wait for the sprint race in a few weeks' time. Thanks both for joining us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, mate, and thanks to all.
Good on you. Thanks, John. And Zach Purton joining us there online regarding Athero. Right, who's John Moore going to train for, Duff?
Himself.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if he's going to meet up with...
You know, he owns a lot of horses. He's even been buying a few fillies and at the sales the last year or so. So he's got some nice stock here, Andrew.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he won't have any trouble finding owners if he wants
to. No, if he's talking to major players.
I think he's already purchased the stables at the Gold Coast, hasn't he?
Yeah, there was some confirmation of that. So, anyway, it'll be great to have if he ends up coming here, it'll be a great thing for Australian racing for sure. Dean, Athero, did you spot it last night? And I guess the other one that we've got to ask about, because people are asking me, Pakistan Star did it again yesterday.
Yeah, after his old tricks, but Athero, very good. Considering his age and everything, I know he had a lightweight and everything, but it's a remarkable development he's made. I mean, he's always been the one most likely to go through the ranks quickly, but that was a stunning win last night.
Yeah, it was, for sure. Right, Dean, in the last few minutes that we've got, can we just reflect on Sandown and Southern France? Well, 19th in a Melbourne Cup, not really getting into it at all, but you spoke earlier about the pace in this race.
Yeah, he was suited. Became a bit of a staying race. He was off the bit very early, but he got the job done, and they paid big money for this horse, so it'll be interesting to see which path they take going forward, whether he has a Australian Autumn Campaign, Australian Cup Tancred Stakes, or he might go to the Dubai Gold Cup 2 miles during their carnival. So I think that's still up in the air, but he's just a genuine stayer.
And the winner, Pretty Brazen, it got tight there at the end. A few horses right there at the finish, but Pretty Brazen holding them off to win the guineas.
Yeah, she got a brilliant turn of foot, Pretty Brazen, and just even the 2 runs prior, even though she won at Caulfield, she's had to use it to get into the race, and then she's grounded out. And again on Saturday, the run appeared, because Heart of Puissance wandered off, the run appeared very early, and she had to take it. And I just think probably she'd peaked with 100 to go, but hung on to win. Probably the horse going forward out of this is Heart of Puissance. He's just got no idea.
What about when he led?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think they know what, I know with his sire, we didn't have much idea what to do with him early doors. You know, he was back and then he punched forward in the Bendigo Cup, and from then on he was pretty much an on-pacer. So this horse is, he's not the same colour, but he reminds me very much of his sire, and in that he's just a raw talent. And I think he's being put away now for the Australian Guineas and maybe up for the ATC Derby later in the year.
Yeah, really nice type for Tony and Kelvin McAvoy. And hey, Doc came back, didn't win the race, but obviously, unless things change over the next few hours, is one of those horses on the plane bound for Perth and the Winterbottom.
Yeah, he's to fly out, and it was a really good run because you could see that he just hit the wall with about 100 to go fitness-wise. I thought it was a terrific run, and he's a dual Group 1 winner, and he's such a big horse. He does improve with racing, so 14 months off the scene. A run, a flight over to Perth, he'll be in good order for the Winterbottom, and he can absorb high pressure, which you need to do in that race.
Willie Pike did it again there, Glenn, over in Perth. A text coming through from Newman. Willie Pike, 5 winners, took a Willie 6-leg parlay, 5 winners and a no second. Had multi times huge results. Still the king in Perth is Willie Pike.
Geez, that's a gutsy bet, isn't it? A 6-leg all-up, a jockey to ride them. But Willie, if anyone could do it, Willie could do it over there. And he's just getting into form for the carnival and not too far from your sojourn west, Ronnie.
I'm at the railway next week, so I'll be at the Gong there. And then Greg and I will go over for the last 2 weeks. And looking forward to that. And yeah, Pike was unbelievable there on Saturday. 5 wins, 3 seconds. And one unlucky runner.
Yeah, exactly. We'll finish off on the Railway Stakes market at this stage, Glenn, in just a tick if you want to get it up. We had a call there, I think it was it Tim asking about whether a race should be there for Newcastle-trained horses only. An SMS has come through. The gentleman misses the point. Lover Lover stays for the Gong. Would have gone to Melbourne for the Matriarch and now to Perth without the Gong. So John Sargent made the decision there, Duff, to stay and run the other week and now goes to the Gong this week.
Yeah, I don't know whether putting on a race for Newcastle trainers, then Chris Lee's winners and they blow up again. So, it's to get a better quality of horse up there on a Saturday program, mainly to give them a taste of the action.
Yeah, for sure.
And there was only 4 Newcastle trainers had runners there Saturday. Mm. Chris Lees, yeah. Jason Deemer, Jay Hopkins and David Atkins. Paul Perry didn't have a runner.
Mm. And look, that'll come with time too. Trainers will get used to now what the races are and if there's any rejigging. Another one comes through here on Jock. Jock Logley does his form quite often at the Newcastle Leagues Club. If that caller wanted to catch up with him, thanks, Jerry. So if you're a Jock fan after he gave us the thorns, you can drop into the Newcastle Leagues Club and see whether you can find him there.
Yeah, if anyone had a big result with Jock, Jock is always keen for sponsors. If you're looking there to show your appreciation, I'm sure Jock will be very, very appreciative.
Well, he's had plenty of mentions over the last few days. Now, the Railway Stakes is the final field comes out later today and tomorrow. You've got the market as it sits right now, Glenn.
Yeah, $6 the field for the Railway on Saturday. The Velvet King, the favourite at $6 over Tell 'Em We Are Coming at $7. Sama's Dart at $8. We've got Best of Days and Regal Power, $9 each of two. Arcanar Star and Gatting, along with Reykjavik, all at $11. Perfect Jewel Star Exhibit and Variation at $15. And then a number of them at $26 and longer.
Okay, and Willie Pike takes the ride on Regal Power at $9. And Brenton Abdullah is riding that horse, Tell 'Em We Are Coming, at $7. He's going over there for only one or two rides. But it's actually one, Dean, that's trained by Granter and Lana Williams that's not owned by Bob Peters.
Yeah, exactly right. And it looks a good chance in the race, Andrew. And as you said, Brenton going over. Damien Oliver riding Akanar Star, who I think is going very well.
What about Flirtini for our good mate Simon Miller there?
Yes, and just, the former king of Perth, Paul Harvey, giving us a taste of what he can still do. That was a stunning win, and she's a great chance in the Winterbottom. I think Trekking's likely to be going over for the Winterbottom, and he'd be favourite, but I think Flirtini of the locals, is she's twice in a row now, had them covered.
Yeah, we suspect in the Winterbottom that the Aussie Brigade will be Trekking.
Eastern Brigade, Andrew.
Eastern Brigade.
It is in Australia.
Sorry. Trekking, Haydock, Dubious. We expect Home of the Brave will be on the plane today. Tony Pike is planning to send Endless Drama. Spirit of Valor is a question mark. We'll know today, obviously, with the plane leaving tonight. Ashlaw won't be going with some foot problems, so it's out of it as well. So hopefully that'll help you in some small way. We should know in the next few hours who exactly is on that plane for the next three Saturdays in Perth. Righto, Dean, have you got a horse to follow?
Andrew, most of the horses that you'd want to follow probably be going the paddock, like Heart of Puissance, etc. But there's one in the Guineas. I wouldn't be surprised if he kept going for a little bit longer. Diasonic, I thought he loomed up, just peaked on his run. I think he's quite a nice horse for Richard Lemming, and if he keeps going in the next few weeks, he'll be winning.
Righto, Diasonic there. What about you, Duff?
Yeah, similar. You know, I think the race that has upside as far as summer form is concerned is race one at Newcastle. So, your House of Cartier, your Sir Pippin, and Master Shahu, they're not far off another win placed right.
Okay. And Munns, did you spot something outside the wedding?
No, Andrew, no. I must admit I was on Heart of Puissance, so I'm still sort of recovering from that. So I did spend enough time away from celebrations and that to watch that race, and I went back to that. But no, I'll have to get into the replays and during the week and get ready for the gong. Thursday, we'll have Formline will come to you live from the gong on Thursday night. We might even have a little cross down there for Formline Extra on Friday night, and then we'll be there bright and early in the van, and I'll regain my seat there, the little dicky seat in the middle, at about a couple of minutes to eight on Saturday morning. Now, I tell you what, I had a few people ask me on at the wedding, what happened to breakfast Saturday morning?
Oh, yeah, no, we were well looked after. It arrived late. That was the only thing. The barn was the place at Newcastle, the egg and bacon roll and the coffee. The more importantly was the coffee, Duff, wasn't it?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for
that. That's great to hear. And any progressive businesses around the Kembla Grange area, Dapto and the like there, maybe Unanderra, that would like to partake in a bit of promotion on Saturday morning, if you'd like to contact Sky Sports Radio, there'll be three members, the Techo, of course, very, very
Maxi.
Happy if you lob down there.
Yeah, that's for sure. About 7:50 on Saturday morning, it'd be fantastic.
Michael Craig, can you organise half a dozen prawn rolls for early in the morning? That'd be all right.
Can we get off here? We've got to get going.
You
go and enjoy it. Good swinging. Duff, wherever you are in the world, make it home today sometime, eh?
I'm at beautiful Terrigal. I don't want to come home. It's beautiful here. But anyway, we're halfway home. We'll get in the car shortly.
All right, good luck, safe travels. And Dean, we'll talk to you again through the week and again, of course, on Saturday.
Terrific. Thanks, Andrew.
That's the team. Ron Duffy, Dean Lester and the Tabs, Glenn Munsey. And this time next week, it'll be our last show of the series. We'll be wrapping up the gong and everything like that. And then from then on, right through December, it'll be Sean and Racing HQ. So be a part of our last Punters Postmortem for the series this time next week.